say good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to be back today, seeing you all, and to continue to explore the gospel of Matthew this morning. Now, at this point of the book, we have seen the powerful ministry of Jesus, he was feeding, the 5,000, he was raising the dead. You know, he was doing all these sort of wondrous things. He was just so amazing. And to get to that, 2 weeks ago, we saw how Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ. And then last week, we saw the configuration of Jesus, so he was manifested to us that Jesus is the Son. So you can imagine the Christ to be one of Jesus' disciples. Disciples, quite that we have is the work of the cross. I mentioned education, the technological company, when I'm out of the system, the car that we have, the money that we carry, how we can support it. Everyone wants to be seen with good kids, to be associated with good kids. But along with you, along with this high point, Jesus began to reveal the journey to the cross. And we begin to see what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And this is very inconvenient for the disciples, because like this life we see two different directions. On the one hand, there's this, glory. On the other, there's this reality of the cross. So there's this serious confusion about the direction and meaning of Jesus' work. And I'm comfortable thinking. You know, we mentioned two questions earlier. Peter was praised by Jesus. I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. And immediately, he told me, just behind me is Satan. So Jesus has to also repeat to his disciples at least 3 times, that he will be killed, immediately he took. So you see this tension here. On the one hand, we have the gain and glory, and on the other, the cost of the cross and the costly. But this tension is not really falling. It is tilted more towards the left, as you can see here. Christians, we all want to be exceptional people. But yet there is another world as this you cannot see. This alternative kingdom of heaven that the gospel of Matthew is constantly proclaiming. Now there are 5 interceptions in Matthew's ministry, you can see here. This is one who says the greatest kingdom, that is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Verses 7 to 9 is something wrong, so let us not become those who cause others to sin. Verses 10 to 14, the precious news. You know this famous story of the shepherd looking for the one lost sheep. Verses 15 to 20, the humble wounded. This is the process that has left him sin and reconciliation, and the last that he can want to purify the dinner story of the forbidden king and master. Because we have such a thing, the story must be. Now, if you have to follow the things we might be looking at as we go along, each section, some of the things that we can have here, we will kind of reflect on 3 points. Now, the first 6 verses confirm the question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the answer is Jesus. And object lesson, he brought this child before him. He said, unless you turn and become like this little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven? Now, the kingdom of heaven, this phrase is found exclusively in the book of Matthew. Kingdom of heaven. Now, what does the kingdom of heaven mean? I'm just going to read this picture from the for you, as you can see here, because the man office here. So, the kingdom of
God has come here, the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven in the heroes of Mexican and January Peter. The identity of the innocent of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is growing in size, it is great in value, it includes all people, it is also known as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is presented as a merciful king of us, workers, generously, and fairly. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding host, and invites a guest who are prepared to meet the group. So there are these lessons that we see there about the kingdom of heaven. But who can enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, in this chapter 3, we believe that the elect of God was saved by grace through faith to enter. Now, what word of Matthew was at this stage? Here again, a few clues on who can enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who are poor in spirit, persecuted for righteousness, those who teach and do God's commandments, those with righteousness exceeding those of the scribes and Pharisees, those who do the will of God, and those who are from all nations, who are like little children. And the last one here is quite interesting. You know, while the Bible is constantly negative about the youth, we still here we do see that the youth can enter the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, as it comes to the earth. So here we get a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. And here Matthew invites us to see this alternative reality that our eyes do not need to see. Now, back to this verse. But in the first century, children have little status socially. Children are often disregarded, manipulated, and overpowered, and they are utterly dependent on their parents for provision and protection. But children also don't go graduate for long, right? You can finish them 1 minute, and the next minute they will come back to you and say nothing will happen. They are honest, they are transparent, and they say things as they are. My youngest son is in Tijuana, and he received a pot of money for his dad. A few weeks ago, he said, Mom, sometimes I don't like to go to church. He said, why? You know, because I lose a little money. He said, why? Because I lose. God gives us money, but we have to give it back to Him. That is not His son. Children have a special skill. They make parents laugh and cry at the same time. So when you look at the purity and the innocence, and you look at how happy they are, with no worries in life, suddenly you catch the dreams of the kingdom of heaven. This alternative reality, they make the kind of Christian life that we have to live. What if children were the Jesus PowerPoint of the kingdom of heaven that God wants us to see? You know, children look up to their parents and say, when I grow up, when I grow up, I want to be like you, daddy or mommy, right? But Jesus is telling us the reverse. When daddy and mommy grow up, they need to become like little children. So the subject verses is showing us a different logic, right? That in the kingdom of heaven, the greatest is the smaller. And Jesus is pointing out three things to us. Number one, to humble like children is to become great in the kingdom of heaven. Number two, to receive a little child is to receive the King of Kings. And of course, parents, guardians, Sunday school teachers, among us. You will labor with patience with our children. You are receiving the King of Kings. And the third thing in this six verses is whoever causes, and you can see in verse 6 here, whoever causes a child to believe who believes in Jesus is sin, it is better for him to belong at the bottom of the sea. Now, linger a bit with this on verse 6. The sin is caused someone to see to value you, and you need to cross to someone to cross the sea. This way, when someone is walking past you, you stick your finger and then the person is under. And you can see the foot of life that is under you. But it has also registered in a long and straightened form. So, maybe as a parent, you influence your kid over 10 or 20 years. You influence the mind of the kid to say, to focus on the things of this world. But you also form the universe. Now, because kids are naive and ignorant, it is very easy to manipulate them, to cause them to think for our purposes. And then you say, woe to those who do this. Why a great news for literally to be a donkey newsroom around the neck and then throw them into the depths of the sea? Now, if you have never seen a donkey newsroom, here it is. Right? And the reason why it is called a donkey is a newsroom is because I will write a donkey for about 10 seconds. It is quite a donkey on the other side, and it is cheaper stuff about the stuff, and then the donkey will just go around the other side. And this is used to talk going into the line. Now, it is better for someone to have that newsroom tied around the neck. And turn into the bottom of the story. It is very good. It will be used in almost many offers. So it is important to really understand. The first stumbling, the first sin causer is the ancient serpent. And we know that the ancient serpent is that it will be cut into the abyss and revelation. In other words, if we are also sin causers and we are also going to be home, we are like little brothers if we are talking about this sin. But those who stumble and become like little children, they will become great and enter the kingdom of God. So let's move on to verse 7-9. And if you look at these three verses, you see the word temptation in the English. You know, you are testing times in the real and higher place for you. But the underlying word is very similar to the scandalism, it's a noun form of scandalism, it is scandalism, right? It means the stumbling block itself. So in verses 8 and 9 also, we see a repetition of scandalism. It says, if our own hands, our own foot, or our eyes, like this, can stumble us. Now, this is what we mentioned in the Sermon of the Mount before we kind of touched it. Then it was about last year, we did not spend a good reason. So, in this process, we spell this emphasis of the repugnancy of sin causes. We see the repetition, we see at least 6 times here. And we see the intensification of sin. Not only are we seeing the face, like, pointing to the abyss, the deep sea, but the word highlighted in yellow here now pointing to eternal fire, the power of life. So what it means is this. You see two opposite trajectories, and this is significant for us. The way to the kingdom of heaven is the way of the little ones and those who receive them, but to those who want to be great in this world, to treat the small in a simple way, to treat the weak and cause them to sin, they go in the opposite direction to hell. Now, in verses 10 to 14, to continue the idea of this different season, I see a famous story of the 91 of one sheep, if you are very familiar. A book that is a little bit cryptic here because it talks about this guardian angel, little one having access to God. Perhaps Jesus was believing his son that we are that God is commanded the angels to kind of guide you in all your ways and comes to the fall, where the angel of the Lord intends around you to heal him. But regardless, we do see that the idea of angel now is extended. It is no longer the lost to be like the bride. And those who are lost may be those who are still in faith are dead, waiting to be found. For those who are among them for their best friends and wander off, right, in fellowship and obedience. Now, the other way this is extended is that we see from the scriptures. Not only are we to receive the gospel, we are to go and speak that. Now, what is significant about this story is to see the love and the humility of the shepherd. But from a calculating and a Jesus-Christian point of view, we could write off that one lamb as inconsequential. If you use family to another, you know, if you really want to use the language of one element of the ground, find out one student. What is two or three among them that you find out and you can use the worst part? And if from a utilitarian point of view, it's just one student, inconsequential. But to God, everyone is precious. Jesus says, the shepherd rejoices over the one sheep found more than the 99 that do not wander. This is not to say that the shepherd does not care for the 99, but the point here is to demonstrate this concept that this immense value of this one sheep, and this desire for God to want to save this sheep from destruction. Now, the number 100 is also a symbolic number of completeness, of fullness in the Bible. Jesus says, you now need what God has given me, you will not have me to come with this and earlier. No one can touch it. So, listen, we serve a God who values the love that knows the need. He needs no one to be I will move on then quickly to the next section, verses 15 to 20. Now, in this section, Jesus shifted gears. He's trying to stop it. Now, if you are the one doing sin with him, if you are the sin, the offended one, you have a responsibility to go and tell the offender that he is wrong. I think this is quite humbling because if you are doing a family, you will spend your life and you go and cry to the other person to realize that it comes to you instead. Do I have to go and take your consideration? But in a sensitive of families, you need sensitive and sensible families. For the sake of the truth, the point is to feel the same causes, the stumbling and self-serve reconciliation. So this one says escalating disciplinary process. First you go in private, reconcile with this, confront, clarify the details, bring one or two more. Now doing for things, you is facing it and becoming 19. For offenders, you still need to listen, call the church, try to have us, try to pastors, then try to put conversation, if you need to tell the necessary, try to see them. Now in the reform tradition, teaching the word of God, and the correct administration of the sacraments are the two distinguishing marks of the church. But discipline comes first before. Why? Because how we treat sin and sin causes in the church is complicated. John Calvin says that discipline is what connects a member together and unites the church according to truth and what happens within. Discipline is what connects the members together and unites the church according to truth and right. So an important point here is this removal of sin, right? Not the sinner unless the sinner is willing to repent. As it's a practice different because they matter. And this section is connected to the next, the last section, verse 21 to 25. Here's the people, you know, after he said in prayer, they came to Jesus, and then asked another question, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to coming out of the lives of you, but rather the sins against you. Jesus said,
in the kingdom of heaven, there is no
and dimension, there is more and more happiness, there is more and more ego, there is more and more of the self. And if you are finding yourself in this situation, in your own life, there is more and more happiness, more and more ego, you are moving in a dangerous direction. Now, with this last question that has come in after the session of faith discipline I have mentioned earlier, the significance is this. Showing other people that we are wrong does not give us an excuse not to forgive them. Now, as far as thinking is concerned, this five sections of the meditation, let us close with three reflections on the story of the moral and Christ. Second, I'm thinking about this. Now, first, this point is true. Now, the spirit in the head of the Christian social and activity does this inability of the disciples to grasp the cross-carrying attitude that's already Christ. Because the same thing, you know, Matthew is showing us this other world, this alternative reality, that we just cannot see. It's like this spirit that still covering our lives. You know, we do see many of the things in the scripture that the people of God do see the different realities that God is still coming out here. And so, for example, we talk about the God of the reason. It's almost as if there's another reality that we do not see. Now, I was talking to one of the Jesuit Bible studies recently, and he worked in a top American investment bank, making investment not just for individuals, not just for corporations, but for entire countries. So you can imagine, in the top tier earner, in investors at work, but he said he had never seen an economy flat before. So he said, can you be a patient coming to economy flat? And so he was reflecting on his investment journey. And he says this. He says, I read this to you. He says, I used a combination of experience plus imagination to feel through the blends and to draw some correlations between what I think has meaningful done. Observations lead to conjectures are tested against further observations, which eventually leads to projections. Ultimately, actions are taken against some of these projections, and the right answer is presented using particularly by a monastery of one. And then saying in red, if you are right, you will be used. If you are used, you must be used. This theory that you have quite thought is causing you to accept it by many. Now, the last two things I'm going to say in red is really subject to me. If we are successful today by the world standard, that means we have done something right. And this is what engineers and all of us encourage the positive that is, positive reinforcement. We keep going in positive, we keep going in positive. If you're right, you'll be rich. If you're rich, you must be right. If you're rich, you must be right. If you're right, you must be right. You will be rich. If you're rich, you will be right. Go on. You probably want to say a lot of things that way. Still, your own life, the way you live, is the way you have to live, the way you can. And because we are in this mood, we are continuing to attempt to humble ourselves. We are taking in a thinking to follow Christ from the inside, the scale of our spirit and life. But what we do is true. Our second thing is this. Jesus inspired us, I mean, in this chapter, to become, to receive, and to speak out people of God. And don't stumble them. But who are these little ones? I mean, we have. Because we've got you can look for things that store the feeling, the emotion, the isolation, the abuse, the expendable, the invisible, the remorse, the emotion of our lives as a society. The inconvenient people who cannot help us, but that we must do to help them. But it can also be the poorly informed general mass whom the ruling youth class keeps and controls the same place. When Jesus is calling out that we must come and become like the little one, he is saying that we need to have this attitude that is rooted and worthy before God, that depends on God for everything, as we behold him speak on this other world of grace. But for most of us here, we in the quiet, how do we do this difficult? And the still in all of us, how do we do this? This is the problem we are not doing with this. Luxury, life and joy become a necessity. And then we have the second level to fight for real. Simplicity, once appreciated, becomes a sanctuary. And you repeat, luxury, once enjoyed, becomes a necessity. Simplicity, once appreciated, becomes a sanctuary. Once you are well, it becomes a necessity to keep it. Then, it becomes meaningless to create and keep us together to be living. So, what do you think about money? John Calvin gave us a principle that is quite practical and difficult. He says this: use earthly goods with a clear conscience, whether for necessity or delight. Clear conscience, not fear conscience. He adds, in the time of Paul, in the time of Paul, for that sounding of God, he says this: if you have it, live as if you are mine for the sake of the kingdom of God. If you do not have it, don't seek it for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's not real. He uses that on mine. So, in essence, simple, the kingdom of God and its righteousness, for when your soul ready, when your heart will be open. The reason we cannot see the kingdom of heaven is because our eyes are on earthly things. So this question for us, how do we become, receive, and speak up with the kingdom? So we can say this in conclusion, the first point Christ became the standard God of the unity of faith. Christ is the standard God. We do not do this on behalf of the case of Romans. Because the Romans law that we say in this case, behold, I'm laying thy stone of thunder and rock of the heavens, which is in Romans. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So Paul was referring this rock of the heavens to Jesus, who is the same Jesus. And Jesus himself, in other words, had gone down to the abyss, almost you could say the hall of silence, so that we do not need to. He laid down his life as the sacrifice. How does Jesus find out about it? We will be speaking on our subject. And he asked the question again: how does Jesus find out? The Messiah is king. Among the kings are these humble the Jews. How can a Messiah, how can a king be among the kings? What a stumbling block that is. The wisdom of God is betrayed by disciples. What is truth? Stumbles the Jews, the philosophers. So this is how Jesus stumbles up. What if Jesus comes to you today and says, go and sell everything and follow me?
and you reach out and measure the offer to yourself. And that's what you find it. And then as we are in the Lord's scripture, a rich young man who kept all the laws, in our list from law number 6 to 10, and he also brought down everything and come follow me. And he couldn't bear it, he ran away fast. He was stunned. And even on the cross, Jesus stumbled out of it. On the one hand, you can do the truth of faith. If you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself. But you can be the other thing that says, you know, remember me when you come in your kingdom. If you are not stumbling us, it's probably because we only see the good. We have not seen the cross and the cross. Dear friends, we come, as we come to this cross, the stumbling block, we accept the truth. The narrow gate or the wide one. We either say, and reach the throne of heaven. So we have to humble ourselves and depend entirely on God like we did today. May God remove the spirit on our lives. So we can come together. But let's take a minute. Let's take a minute to respond to God quietly on our own. Let's be meditating to God, right? Or the offering later. But let's take a minute to respond to our God ourselves. Let's thank God for being the standalone for us. But at the same time, we need to be kind. Is Christ thundering? Let's respond to God ourselves. What the Lord is speaking to you, has he become more and more happy, or has he become more and more forgiving? Respond to God. What is God saying to you this time? Why is it that this human ability to God is fast carrying everything of following Christ? In your life, Lord, we ask that you open our eyes to see this opportunity to reality of the kingdom of God. This reality that we cannot see because our eyes are focused on the things of this world. To direct our hearts to you, to yearn to see this kingdom of heaven, and turn us from the treasures of this world. And Lord, please help us believe in you more. Please help our unbelief and help us to be like little children and entirely dependent on you. Lord, as we look at our children, as we look at the love, the needs, and the loss of my life, help us to go to scripture. Not just receive them, but go and seek them. Help turn our life away from you. Give some glory to people to help us to see the kingdom of heaven. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.